We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. We'll talk some football at the bottom of the hour with Peter King, but there was sort of a large baseball game last night.
Huge game. And it was about 5 hours of my life, so we need to talk about it.
We have a lot of time watching that bad boy. We have to unburden some, unpack some things.
Let's make it worth it for all that time.
So think about this. You're one win away from a World Series, okay?
Pretty good.
Your best pitcher had the worst start of his career and spent the night in the hospital.
That's right.
Your closer
stinks.
Looks like he's from another planet right now.
Yes.
Your number two pitcher has never won a start in his playoff career.
And counting.
And you are one win away from going to the World Series.
Because you have Nathan Eovaldi.
And
you have
Jackie
Ryan
Bradley
Brazier,
Jr.
And Jackie Bradley. Right. We all knew it all along. We said it's going to be come down to Jackie Bradley, Nathan Eovaldi, and who else do you want to throw in there? It's been Mookie Betts has had his moments for sure. Andrew Benintendi with the catch. But it's been some of those other guys like Ryan Brazier, even Matt Barnes at times, that they have really found a way to carry the team. It's been pretty remarkable, and doing it against a great team. This is a tough road, too, to the World Series. I mean, the Yankees are a 100-win wild card team.
This team's a 103-win team.
And the defending champs. And so this is really impressive.
And by
so,
the way, you're not there yet.
No.
Believe me, I know that.
You got another game, and this team and this franchise knows more than any. You know, a 3-1 lead doesn't mean everything. But and they're in a spot where they can celebrate tonight in Houston, although the odds are certainly against them with David Price on short rest and Justin Verlander on the other side. But you know, you got to give credit to the bats too. You know, they haven't been forcing their starters to be perfect.
They've been scoring early.
Right, they've been scoring,
taking some pressure off.
It's amazing how important that is. I think that stat still holds. The team that has scored first every game for the Red Sox, so Red Sox, Yankees, and Red Sox, Astros, whoever scores first wins.
And the Red Sox this year
are
now 79-15 when they've scored first.
Pretty good. And even at times, even then they score first, they might give up a couple runs and the game is tied. Like go back to the David Price start, but then they're able to fight back and score some runs. And it's been a bunch of different guys in that lineup, too, that have come through for them.
So far, so good.
Pretty good.
You got to win one out of the next three. Don't feel great about tonight's.
Well, see, I don't want to be negative Rich because I never am.
It is your job.
But David Price and injured sick Chris Sale are your next two starters. But you got Nathan Eovaldi waiting there in Game 7, and nobody beats Nathan Eovaldi.
Wouldn't it be cool if David Price starts tonight?
It
gets the
cool.
first guy out, and then they take him out of the
Wade
game.
Wade Miley style. Yeah, like, hey, here we go. Well, okay. So what
By
I
the
got...
way, they weren't what? Even... They weren't even... Dave Roberts wasn't even mad. He was kind of half expecting it, which is why he had two lefties in his lineup.
He was expecting it?
He thought that they might do... Now, I don't know if he thought it was going to be after the first batter.
So if you missed it, in the NLCS, Wade Miley, former Red Sox great, got the start for the Brewers. He
great.
Threw... Player.
Okay,
what I said.
That was,
what
yeah,
I said. Great.
Better, yeah.
So he pitched... Five pitches, walked the leadoff guy,
yeah.
Five pitches.
Then they
took
came
him
and got him.
Craig Counsell goes running out there. They take him out. And so they had what they thought was more of a lefty lineup. But as you said, Dale, they kind of prepared a little bit for it, I guess. But then they brought in a righty, and he pitched like five or six innings or whatever it was. So that was just really screwy. I think I don't like the opener. I hate the idea of the opener. And I was nervous with Price pitching last night that maybe you'd get the opener today. I hate it. I hate that. When the A's did it, I thought it was a joke. And if the Red Sox brought out Heath Hembry to start today, I would have thought that was a joke. But this is even – what is this? We're like, hey, we're going to start a guy, and then first inning, he's out? What is that?
By the way, the managers always announce the starting pitchers, and they did this. Milwaukee announced their starting pitcher.
Yeah.
He went to the podium the day before the game. He answered 16 questions about his start the next day, and he knew he was only going to pitch to one batter and was going to be pulled.
And he's doing it again. So he's starting
Game 6
tomorrow, right? Not tonight. I think tomorrow they play. Dodgers have a 3-2 lead, and Wade Miley is going to be back out there. So I guess
I checked on this, by the way. I thought you had to announce your starter. You don't.
What do you mean you don't?
You literally don't have to declare your starting pitcher
until the lineup's
until
out?
You present your lineup card to the umpire.
Kind of thought Cora would do that tonight. You know, I thought maybe he'd keep it under his hat.
Maybe.
Keep everybody guessing. Give us a full day to question what was going on. But no, it's going to be Price. Yeah, but the Miley thing, like, what kind of advantage is that? I mean, I guess you want to get their lefty lineup out there, and then you switch to a righty, and then you make them perhaps make adjustments. You know, it'd be like if the Red Sox had Devers and, you know, like all their lefties in, like at Holt, and they had, you know, Mitch Moreland, and then all of a sudden here comes, you know, a lefty now on the mound. They got to swap all those guys out. I mean, I guess there's an advantage to that, but it seems like they're overthinking it a bit.
One of the Red Sox beat guys, and I'm sorry, I can't remember which one to give proper credit.
Rob Bradford.
Well, let's just say that because it'll make him happier.
It's the Bradford show.
So he tweeted out yesterday that Stephen Wright threw yesterday for the first time since they shut him down. And he said he felt so good, he felt like he could have pitched last night.
Oh, now, he's could use
not,
him tonight.
He's not eligible this.
Could use him tonight. World Series, though.
He could be added to the World Series roster.
I bet.
If you get that far.
If he's healthy, I bet he is on the World Series roster. Don't you think? Do you
World
really,
Series starts Tuesday. Do you have enough time? He threw yesterday for the first time.
Yeah.
Since they shut him down. The World Series starts Tuesday.
Well, I think a lot of it will depend on what is really the deal with Chris Sale. Like, what do you really expect to get out of him? Because you look at where this series is, you had to bump him, you had to bring David Price on short rest. So all of a sudden, a team that we thought had seven starters on the playoff roster to begin against the Yankees, now you kind of cross Eduardo Rodriguez off the list because, like, I don't think he can do it. Then you cross Stephen Wright off the list because he's injured. And now you're looking at, all right, who else do you turn to? Actually, maybe it was six, excuse me, because he had four, then those two. And now you're, like, scrambling. Now you have, like, three or two and a half. And so I think if Wright's available, they will use him.
All right, back to the calls with you guys. Justin's in Shreveport. Hey, Justin, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Good.
Doing great.
Good. Man, I woke up this morning after watching that game, and that was probably the best game I've seen in a long time.
It was great,
It was unbelievable. But the catches by, you know, Josh Reddick, which if it gets by you, that freaking opens the game up.
Completely gets overlooked.
We didn't even mention that. That was a hell of a grab. That's right.
Yeah, you know, and that's Mookie squares it up, and, you know, I'm thinking, shoot, the freaking game's over. And then Reddick makes that grab. I'm like, dadgum.
Yeah.
And then, you know, next inning comes up, and we freaking end it on the Benintendi catch. And,
right.
And there's no doubt in my mind Mookie catches that ball. You know, I played baseball my whole life. If that fan's not there, I mean, he comes up and grabs it. There's no doubt about it. But what I really wanted to say is I think Price comes out tonight, and I think he redeems himself. There's no pressure on him. We're up 3-1. Everybody's expecting him to fail. I mean, what can we lose? So I say he goes out, makes it happen. I say Mookie Betts breaks out again and J.D. Martinez. And so I'm saying we clinch it tonight. But anyways, that's just me from a Southern boy down here in Louisiana, but I watch him every game.
All right, Justin. We
appreciate you.
Good positivity. I don't know how on earth anybody can predict a good start from Price. Maybe it'll happen.
Or that the Red Sox go out and knock Justin Verlander
around. That's the other part of it, too. Is like, do you really, like, Price is going to have to be near perfect if you're going to beat Verlander. At least that's the sound. I mean, if you, based on track record and everything else, Verlander is the guy you want to pitch in a playoff game. Price is the guy you do not want to pitch in a playoff game. And now they're matched up against each other. So, yeah, stranger things have happened. You know, maybe the worst playoff pitcher of all time beats one of the best, or maybe the best current playoff pitcher. Maybe it can happen, but I would not bet on it.
The Red Sox tweeted out some footage. They had there's a camera in the bullpen all the time anyway. But as the final out was being made, the Red Sox tweeted out the footage from the Red Sox bullpen, and there are three guys jumping around, and one of them is Price.
Yeah, he's like, I don't have to pitch tonight.
Well, no, he's probably thinking, can I stop warming up now?
Yeah, you're done. The game's over. But come back early tomorrow because you're starting tomorrow.
Price started booting the fence, too.
He did give the fence one kick. He was excited.
What is that bullpen setup? What is that?
I've seen it because I was there. It is weird.
It's so screwy.
You actually sit behind it, behind this fence, and you have to walk around and come out to where you throw.
It was so weird.
They could only watch the game on TVs.
Oh, so I was going to ask you that. They don't even see the game like in real time.
No, they have to. They're watching it on
delayed?
TV monitor. I don't know.
That'd be great.
Maybe they actually give it to them real time.
They cheer like late. They don't know what's going on. But yeah, that is a weird setup. But he was pitching a lot. So I'm curious what it's the playoffs. So if he's pitching well, I think he's going to pitch as deep as possible into this game. But I don't think you can expect that.
Jim's up in Maine. Hey, Jim.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Great. I I have a little bit of an idea. I could, of course, go to Bill Kelly today and say, can you give me three outs and start him?
Oh, you're an opener guy? You're a starter by committee guy? No.
Not normally. Ugh. But I think with Price going on 3 days rest and a little shaky, if Kelly can go in, get three outs, take the head off that lineup, and close the door, and then give it to Price to go as long as he can, that does two things. Number one, yeah. it takes the top three off that lineup that Price has to face.
I mean, for an inning.
Price the extra incentive to say, look, I'm getting you one inning closer to making it through five.
I am not starting Joe Kelly. My God. I mean, thanks.
I know we're all trying to get real creative because this requires creative times here today.
Well, because the Oakland A's don't have any starters, and then the Milwaukee Brewers think they're smarter than everybody, so they're trying to do all these stupid things with their rotation. You should be able to start starters. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm too old school, Dale. It's one of my biggest faults. I'm too old school.
I thought you were going to say, I care too much.
I care, man. Maybe it is. It's my only flaw.
I care too much.
My only flaw is I care too much and I work too hard.
And I love too hard.
It's all these things are true. But David Price should be able to come back on short rest. I understand he hasn't done it before. For whatever reason, I'm sure there's all kinds of circumstances why he hasn't had to do it. But guess what? This kind of is an emergency situation. Chris Sale was all lined up ready to go. He can't. He didn't look right in game one, hospitalized for a night. He can't go. So you shouldn't have to all of a sudden turn into, let's start Joe Kelly. Let's start Heath Hembree. No, it's 3 days rest. It's David Price. Pitchers do it all the time. Starters do it all the
time.
Trouble
is, big time starters. Wade Miley got started last night and threw five pitches and one hitter, and then they pulled him out. So people are going, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. They're like, oh, this is what you can do. Like, let's start this guy. And then Price is still going to have to get him out. They're like, oh, Joe Kelly. So, oh, by the way, we're assuming in this scenario, Joe Kelly faces Bregman, Springer, Altuve, gets those three guys out. Yeah, well, of course he will. He'll get those three guys out, and then Price gets to go in. And then what? Never face those guys? Something tells me they're going to be due up in a couple of innings. So I don't. Eventually, he's going to have to face the good hitters, whether it's inning one or inning four, maybe even inning three. The starter by committee thing is trash.
They're driving us crazy with it.
I hate it.
This goes back to Kevin Cash in Tampa.
It does.
He's the first. Kevin Cash. I don't have any.
They
starters.
Did the whole season.
I don't have anybody.
But you can kind of understand it because their entire starting or their entire rotation and bullpen probably makes less than David Price. So you can almost understand it. Oakland had a lot of injuries. They were running out of starters. I still disagreed with it. They should have started Edwin Jackson or somebody or Fires, whoever, but they didn't. The Red Sox have a $30 million starter. You don't need to outthink yourself and bring out Kelly or Hembree.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll talk some football with Peter King coming up next. Then right back to your calls. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. Time for our regular weekly visit with Peter King from Football Night in America, Football Morning in America. Peter, brought to you by Verizon Fios, Shaw's and Star Market, and by Always Health Partners. Peter, perhaps you can help us out this morning. We're trying to figure out where we're going to put the Joe West statue in Boston.
Hey, you know, here's the thing I would say. I was just talking to my buddy Don Banks, who I'm sure you know. He's a longtime sports writer, NFL writer. Lives up in Boston, and we were talking about the fact that of all of the memorable Red Sox games, this is not necessarily the greatest Red Sox game we've ever seen, although I can't think of one right now that would really be any greater, just in terms of drama. But there are so many talking points to this game. You know, like, I kept thinking as everybody was falling all over themselves to try to dissect the Mookie Betts play, I, and again, look, I'm trying to put my neutral cap on, okay? But once I wasn't positive about this last night, so I asked a few people on Twitter, and I said, yeah, it's basically the same rule as the NFL. It has to be, you know, indisputably incorrect, you know, the call on the field for it to be overturned. And so I kept looking at the call. And I said, look, I don't see how you overturn this call, honestly, because it's not obvious that Mookie Betts went into the stands or his glove is in the second row. It just isn't. And this kind of Zapruder film where you get the side angle is going to go down probably in Houston Astros history the way the Immaculate Reception went down in Oakland Raiders history, you know, where Franco Harris is ruled to have caught the ball, but nobody could ever really see it, you know, and just like nobody could see if Mookie Betts is, you know, in the second row. Although, you know, so in my opinion, I think they got that particular call right, as much as I'm not positive that the initial call was right, but I don't see how you can overturn it.
As a Red Sox fan, how do you feel about Craig Kimbrel right now?
I mean, it's a disaster waiting to happen. I don't know what to say.
I agree.
I mean, you know, look, Jeff Passan, I don't know how to pronounce his name, wrote a great story at Yahoo this morning. And the story was about how right before Bregman comes up, Benintendi checks his fielding sheet, his fielding card, about where he should be. And I guess it's different depending on who's pitching. I don't know this, but so he checks his card and he moves in, he says, a step and a half. And obviously he catches the ball. And yeah. The theory is, I guess, that if he hadn't moved in a step and a half, Houston's probably tied in this series right now 2-2.
Yeah.
But I guess I look at it like, I don't know, at some point it's not going to be all giggles and happiness. You know, four appearances now and runs allowed in both and yet four saves. It's bizarre.
About this, though, Peter. You're a one win away from going to the World Series. Chris Sale's been, in his start, the worst I've ever seen him and spent the night in the hospital. Yeah. David Price has never won a playoff game as a starting pitcher. And your closer is like Heathcliff Slocum reborn. And you're one win away from the World Series.
I'm mind-boggled, especially because of the respect I have for the Astros. I think the Astros are great. But the fact is that this is not the classic Altuve. Even though Correa's had some big hits in this series, he's a little bit diminished. And I don't know about you, but I never in a million years thought that I would see the day, even if he played until 90, where Alex Bregman would go 0-for-5 in a playoff game. I mean, think about it. That was the first game the Red Sox actually pitched to him,
right?
Regularly, and I mean, it's one of the reasons, honestly, why I think a lot of times when you watch sports, I can't gamble on sports. I just can't do it because of things like last night. Dale, you just said it all. All of the negatives. How possibly on God's green earth are they ahead 3-1 in this series with what you just said? It's impossible. And with an incendiary bullpen that has some good matchup issues like Brazier and Matt Barnes. So I don't know. You know, the one thing, and I'll ask you guys this because maybe it was said after the game last night. Didn't it seem to you that Alex Cora basically said, we're so all in on this game that we truly are conceding game 5. You know, we're going to have David Price warm up hard, and which has to affect how much he's going to be able to pitch tonight. And we're going to get through this game with some collection of Hembry, Workman, I don't even know who's out there, but
right.
Joe Kelly. I'm mind-boggled why you warm up Price if after watching those 35 pitches of Kimbrel or whatever, you're not going to bring him in. And so I don't know whether anything was said about that or not, but it was lunacy.
You know, one of the big stories of this series, too, like unfortunately, is all the replays. And really the whole playoff, like both series for the Red Sox, there's been so many replays.
Yeah.
And you get this with the NFL, too, Peter, is you want to get the calls right, but it certainly doesn't seem like they have it perfect, and it interrupts the flow of the game more often than not.
Well, I think especially at this time of year, Rich, that, you know, if you didn't have replay last night, and even though there are still going to be some bitter feelings on the Mookie catch, or the Mookie non-catch and whatever you should call that, there's going to be some bad feelings. To to have the ability to go back and at least look at that, I think you have to have it. And I agree with you. Replay sometimes the pain in the rear end, but I don't know how you put the genie back in the bottle.
Yeah.
Turning our attention to football for just one brief moment, because we've enjoyed our baseball talk with you here. Is the NFL happy with the product that they've now presented, which is basically all offense, 43-40 football games? We don't really care about defense. As long as nobody's getting concussed and the points are going up on the board, we're happy.
Yes. Dale, we're seeing the game change basically before our very eyes. I'm going to write something on Monday about that. I was talking to Troy Aikman about this yesterday. And I talked to a bunch of people. I really respect their football knowledge, not just, you know, today, but kind of long term. And one of the things that I have really started to believe is that this has become kind of a don't worry, be happy league. Okay, don't make a real policy on the anthem. Just let it go. I mean, I was shocked last week to see Roger Goodell openly and enthusiastically praise Donald Trump for the, for fixing the, the Canada-Mexico-U.S. relationship, so that now, in a business sense, it's much better for the NFL. It's kind of complicated to explain, but you know, and this is after Donald Trump has been shredding the NFL and its players. And I think what the NFL is trying to do is they're trying to say, look, when we have really tried to stick our necks out for what we believe is the correct principle, we've gotten our neck chopped off. So we're not going to do that anymore. We're just going to ignore it, and we're going to shut up. I mean, Roger Goodell basically went, I think it's, I'm right in saying, 123 consecutive days without uttering a public statement, going to anybody's training camp this summer, making any sort of public appearance other than, like, at the Hall of Fame. I mean, he just basically disappeared. And part of the reason is no good can come of Roger Goodell appearing in public. You know, he just gets the crap boot out of him wherever he goes and all that. But, Dale, about the game itself, I just make this point that I am really betwixt in between about this, because I was at the game last week in Foxborough, and I thought it was absolutely scintillating, thrill a minute. I loved watching Mahomes. I loved watching the answers the Patriots defense had for Mahomes at times in this game. I thought Dante Hightower played one of the games of his life, and clearly the best game since he's come back from his injury. I think that was so fun, so incredible. But the fact is, you're right. When you have zero punts for the first 56 minutes of the game, and when you have 986 yards or whatever it was, you know, it's, you have created rules that are unfair to one side of the ball. But with the ratings up, with people going gaga over fantasy football, loving these big scores, I think the NFL, and judging by the meetings this week in New York, these guys think that they're back in nirvana with the ratings getting, getting back to at least 2016 levels and aiming to get back to 2015 levels. So, Dale, I think this is the new normal in the NFL.
Peter, always good to talk baseball with you.
Yeah.
We appreciate your time, as always.
Take care, guys.
We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Peter.
Peter King joining us. Football Night in America. Football Morning in America is his column as well. I had a feeling he was pretty cranked up about last night's game.
Yeah, I would imagine.
He's as big a Red Sox fan
exactly.
as I know.
Oh, that's good stuff.
I will tell you, inside radio stuff.
Yes.
The only thing that I've ever been able to give him that meant anything to him was Red Sox tickets.
It means the world. That's the only thing that matters.
Yeah, give him some you know, left monster seats in left field, and
awesome.
Away we go.
Good.
Telling you,
I cracked him up a couple times.
I cracked him up today.
2 weeks in a row.
617-779-7937. Right back to the calls with you. Coming up next, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI. So it's been an interesting day for the callers so far.
I think a strong day.
We've had a good day with the callers so far. Well, except one made you a little bit mad, because
who?
Well, the guy who wanted to talk about his Little League experience.
Well, I mean, it was a little surprising. We hadn't gone back that far.
Because who the hell would ever talk about
back
Little League?
Little League,
bro?
Oh, wait a minute. Let me finish.
Little League?
I was an 091 hitter and was the strikeout king of the league, but I made the all-star team because of my fielding. So, but the hell?
Because
yeah,
it was at that point I knew you were saying, you know, our show
doing?
Has been taken over here because
yeah.
Nobody calls this program
correct
to take their playing experience back to Little League. The idea that you have to be some whiz bang star of a player to be able to talk about the game.
But what's misleading, Dale, is I was a star. But that's what's misleading about the
whole
thing.
Even beyond that, we'll pretend you weren't that good. Okay,
that's misleading.
Here's the deal.
What? That's because I was...
You were talking about your Little League.
Because I was specifically called out,
All-star.
Dale.
An all-star.
No, but you're missing the whole point. No. This guy called in to compare him to Mookie Betts. I, out of nowhere, I was minding my own business doing the show. Some idiot called in and said I was a bad Little Leaguer, which
is
not true at all.
And you defended yourself vigorously.
What was I supposed to do? Agree with him? He was lying.
You trotted out how you were one of the very best players in your Little League.
But do you understand the difference? There couldn't be a bigger difference.
Little League, bro.
I didn't bring it up. Somebody said I was bad in Little League, which is wrong. I wasn't great. Like I wasn't like this amazing like high school player or anything. But I was actually a great Little Leaguer. So that was just wrong.
We had your coach call in actually.
Yes, my all-star coach. I didn't bring it up. I didn't show up one day and be like, "Hey, you know that Benintendi catch? I had one of those in Little League." I didn't do that.
Back in Little League, bro.
He called us about Little League. I don't know why you guys think this is the same thing.
Who's you guys? This is Dale.
He's looking at
Dale. Pulled that sound. Dale went back and pulled that sound.
Dale came to me with a great
idea. Dale pulled that sound during
the
break.
Dale came back here. Yes, we were going through the archives.
But that idiot called us and said you were a bad Little League player,
which was totally unfair.
Which is,
as you pointed out, you were one of the 14 best Little Leaguers in your league. In fact,
even better than that,
you said you were probably the best of the 14.
I probably was.
Okay,
I don't want to pat myself on the back. Let's just get the facts straight. Okay, let's just get the facts straight.
Wait a minute. Let me finish.
Was I the number three hitter on the All-Star team? Yes,
I
was.
I was a 91 hitter.
I hit like 750.
The strikeout king of the league.
Yeah,
but
not
I
me.
Made the All-Star team because of my fielding.
No, because you had a very small Little
hell?
League, and your dad was the coach. Like that's why you made the. That's why you made the All-Star team.
Might have been that too.
Come on. They're not taking defensive specialists on the Little League All-Star team. They're not doing it. They're taking the 12 best kids, and they're going from there.
Back to the calls we go. Dane's on the cell phone. Hey, Dane.
Hey, Dale and Rich, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was the 1980 Pony League MVP.
Perfect.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
Congrats.
Nothing to do with these comments. Hey, I want to challenge you and your listeners. If you go back and look at a fully recorded the replay of that game last night, like on MLB TV postseason, or if you DVR'd it, you'll see while they were discussing Joe West's interference call, they were reviewing it in New York. Mookie Betts got together with some of his fellow players down in the infield, and you can see him talking about it. They're asking him what happened, and he clearly says either he or they closed my glove.
Yeah, and he made made the motion too with his hand. He was showing how they hit his glove.
Yeah,
I just think a guy. Well, of his defensive capabilities, has probably never closed his glove too soon on a play in his life.
But that's not a normal play, though, is my point.
But he's made other abnormal plays.
No, but
I think he clearly got hit, and the glove closed when he got hit from in the back of the hand.
Yeah, I don't really know what happened, but I do know
it's
that.
Also
why would Mookie
beside the point. The minute the hand hits the glove, it's interference.
Right. I mean,
it doesn't matter whether it closed because of that or not.
Yeah, right. They got the call right, and what we're debating, I guess, really doesn't matter. Would he have made the play? Would he have not made the play? I just think if you're a Houston fan, you could maybe think, hey, if he doesn't make the play, that's all on the fan's fault. Like, the fan interference prevented a two-run homer. Now, most Red Sox fans say, no, it wouldn't have mattered. He just would have had a highlight catch rather than a review and sort of a call that we're all analyzing now. That's the only difference.
Eric's in New Haven. Hey, Eric.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's Good. Going on?
Hey, got a couple things. The first thing was I'm surprised they didn't check with the guy with a camera in the Astros dugout to see if he didn't get a better angle on that play.
Kyle MacLachlan.
Nice. Yeah, he would have been on the third base side. He was stealing.
He would have been over by the Red Sox dugout, so he'd have had a clear look right out to right field.
No, he doesn't care about that. He's worried about the third base coach and what he's up to and what Cora's doing with his voice. So that's not what he's doing.
The other thing, I don't know if you noticed, but if you look closely at that play, the fan who slapped his glove closed was actually A-Rod.
All right. This guy's working on material here, Dale.
Wait, before he goes out on the road, trying it out at the smaller houses.
He got a sort of a mixed reaction on the Kyle MacLachlan joke, and then he says,
I didn't even know the guy's name.
I'm going to turn that into an A-Rod joke. So that's what we're led to believe?
That's good. Yeah,
so he wanted us to check the Houston Astros cheater. So do you want to take a victory lap for that now, or do you want to save that? The Rob Manfred stuff.
I mean, as I said yesterday, their explanation is so patently false and transparently incorrect that no one, not even the Houston media, is buying the crap they're
Major
trying to
League
sell.
Major League Baseball bought it. So
No, Rob Manfred just wants it to go
away. No,
he
does.
Please, let this go away.
So basically the Astros, and they did address it on the air last night for a second. They did the little, like, the two-shot there of Brian Anderson and Ron Darling, and they were, like, being very serious about the allegations and saying what was going on. A lot of teams have been under the microscope, specifically the Astros, but a lot of teams. And then he's saying how... Then in the write-up that we saw that Major League Baseball released this statement, and it was saying how it was confirmed that the guy for the Astros was not spying on the Red Sox. What he was doing was making sure that the Red Sox weren't cheating.
And Dombrowski, by the way, got pissed yesterday.
How could you not?
Because he said, well, obviously the implication here is we were doing something wrong.
Right.
And we didn't do anything wrong.
But that is so dumb. Like, we were laughing about that. That was like, hey, we're not cheating. We just want to make sure you're not cheating.
And with a runner at second and the fear of sign stealing at its pinnacle right now.
Like, it is, I guess. And everybody's stealing signs. And there's a million signs behind the plate. Then you got, how about Maldonado's got his little cheat index card that he's pulling out. And they're showing
Andrew
that all
Benintendi
the players.
Well, Andrew Benintendi had his out in left field.
They all got cheat sheets. You shouldn't be allowed to bring a cheat sheet onto the field. Can you bring one of those when you're taking a test? No, you can't.
I think
can't
at some point we're going to need a Nobel Prize winner to figure out these signs for pitchers and catchers in baseball.
It was getting outrageous. But going back to the sign stealing thing, it's just insane that the Astros go, nothing to see here,
case closed.
Or the Major League Baseball, I'm saying. Nothing to see here.
We were just defending ourselves.
They wanted to make sure that they weren't cheating. Like, oh, what? No, Major League Baseball is the one that needs to do that. So what did they do?
Just trying to picture Rob Manfred when somebody stuck this release in front of him and said, Mr. Manfred, this is what we're going to put out. And he looks up and says, really? This is what we're going to say?
Yeah.
We're going to try to convince people that that's what this is about?
But because it's the Astros and because even it's Major League Baseball, I don't think it's going to be a huge issue, right? Like, I think it's as dumb as it is.
It's already over.
It probably will be.
I will point out that the Houston Astros are 0-3 since Kyle MacLachlan got thrown out of the, out of the camera well.
Good stat there.
They have not won a game since Kyle MacLachlan got the boot at Fenway Park.
He was the secret piece there. So they won the World Series because of that guy last year.
That's what the Dodgers think.
Pretty impressive.
Taylor's up in New Hampshire. Hey, Taylor.
How's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
I hate to agree with that creep, you know, the 1994 Goffstown Little League Scout of the Year that talks about how bad Rich was. But
you're going to agree with him on that?
No, I'm going to agree with him on the fact that you said he maybe closed his glove anticipating the ball was going in there. I can't believe no one else has called and said anything. Dale got on you a little bit about it, but he closed his glove on purpose because he thought, what?
Yeah,
the
what are you saying?
The ball hits the glove, then you close it. You never close it beforehand. What?
You don't even have to close it. You don't make a conscious effort to close it. When the ball hits the glove, it closes.
Yeah, but not if it hits you on the palm. I mean, this is not a normal catch. This isn't like you're waving off a guy in right field and you're just bringing it in. You're running full speed and jumping into the crowd and you're trying to make a play. So, I mean,
you said you watched the video 1,000 times, a million times, and your first conclusion.
I think it was 2,000 times.
A million times, whatever.
No, not a million times. I don't have that kind of time.
Have Lou bring a couple gloves down, and you guys can play some catch.
I got a glove in my car. We can play right now. Do you want to have a toss with me, Taylor?
Want
to go have a toss?
I mean, we can't. I wouldn't play catch you. Sure. It was just the most foolish thing I ever heard. You're like, yeah, that was your first.
Keep listening. They'll be worse. Trust me.
I know.
They'll be much worse.
We're not even done today.
You're kidding me? We've got two more hours.
I know. I freaking hallucinate and wait every time I call.
I know. It's outrageous to think a guy trying to catch a ball would close his glove. How dumb of me.
I happen to disagree with you that that's what happened, but it's not like I think you're stupid for saying it.
I don't know why they even have gloves. They should all just have paddles. Obviously, they don't close them. They just put the paddles on.
Maybe I've missed one. Maybe it's happened. I doubt that Mookie Betts has ever closed his glove too soon on a play, ever. And he's made some remarkable catches. As we know, he's a gold glove outfielder.
You're making it sound like, not you, but the caller's making it sound like he ran up there and he's like got a closed glove like this we're watching a slow-mo replay. Like it is it's not even a full second in between the ball hitting his glove and his glove being closed.
I hate to do you dirty like this, but here's the problem.
No, you don't. You don't feel
I actually kind of enjoy it.
You don't feel bad.
I kind of enjoy it because you know who's on your side on this?
Who's that?
Kate Upton. She tweeted out last night about the whole glove being closed thing.
All right.
And she basically says, like you did, that she says, and I'm quoting, "Watch this video. Mookie's glove is closed. That's a home run." Well, first of all, Kate, calm down.
There's fan interference.
Well, no,
You're ignoring that part.
If we ignore that part, Kate.
But that's the biggest part.
It went off his glove and came back in the field of play. It's not a home run.
Well, then, no, that would not have been
No. Kate. So, unfortunately, you and Kate Upton are... Well, I think you're soulmates. I think that, you know, simpatico here.
Why is that a bad thing?
I didn't say it was a bad thing.
I mean, I'm not wild about Kate Upton.
No?
No, really not. Doesn't really do it for me.
Really?
Is your wife listening?
Probably not.
Break the string?
No, it's got nothing to do with that. No, there are other ladies out there that I am more attracted to, I guess I would say, than Kate Upton.
We got time. Go ahead.
You like Blake Lively.
Okay.
Jennifer Love Hewitt, even still today. Ooh, Zoe Saldana.
Out of nowhere.
What do you mean out of nowhere?
Out of nowhere.
That's my fave five. I like that. What are you nodding your head about? You like that?
Sure. It's your opinion.
Kate Upton not on the list, but I don't mind. I mean, she's a little biased, I would say, here. Just slightly.
Well, I don't think that's
fair. Was that
fair.
Her sitting in the front row? There's somebody that looked kind of like her sitting in the front row. I assume she'd be in like a suite.
Yeah, I'm guessing it would be hard for her to be sitting down close.
But it was by like the Nolan Ryan seats last night, and like the Biggio and Bagwell. It was like right there. I thought I noticed her. It looked kind of like her.
Biggio, Bagwell, and Upton. It's kind of the holy trinity of Houston sports.
How about DeAndre Hopkins was there getting the crowd into it at the beginning of the game?
Yeah, that worked.
And then the night before, it was James Harden, Chris Paul, and Carmelo Anthony.
All sitting there. They were sitting down there by the Biggio seats.
And then they opened up the season with a nice loss.
Yeah, we have some pictures. Yeah, she was there.
That was Kate Upton last night. So she was
surprised
right
that the broadcast didn't show her more.
Well, she was every time they threw a pitch, you could see her. But they didn't like zoom in on her, you mean? Yeah.
Well, she also said the glove was closed.
Well, I don't think I'm the only person. I mean, I don't think we're the only two people in the world. Well, the glove
No, so far it's Kate Upton, and Mutt. How you feeling about yourself right now?
No, Danny Ainge. I heard Danny Ainge say the same thing.
Did
he? He's a former pro baseball player. No. Well, Kate Upton's right. The glove was closed. The question becomes, did he close it or did somebody else close it? Like, she's not wrong. The glove was closed.
Right.
Like, there's no, we can't argue that one. That's just look at the video. But it's, you know, whether or not it was influenced. But I just think the hands were there, and not all four of the guys, I don't think.
No, but four hands were in contact with Mookie.
But and I don't think all
two
four
of them belonged to one guy.
Yeah, and I think those ones were the ones that were over the fence because Mookie starts obviously in the field of play, but then starts to go back a little bit, and these guys reached out. That's what you're dealing with.
Richard's in Scituate. Hey, Richard.
Hey, yes, I think we got robbed. We got robbed from seeing one of the great catches of all time, and I'll tell you why. First, can I give you a Celtics nickname?
Yeah.
Okay. In deference to Red Auerbach, I think we should call the Celtics the Grateful Red, and all the players will be called Redheads.
What's your point on the catch?
Yeah, let's just move on to the next one.
Okay. My take on the catch is that the glove was definitely closed by the fan. I thought at that very point we were going to see one of the great catches of all time.
Well, that's definitely true, Richard, and that's unfortunate that if the fans just stayed back, there'd be clear cut. Either he makes one of the great catches, and you're right, one of the great catches of all time, which is definitely possible.
It would have been a very good catch.
A sick catch, especially in a playoff
I've
game.
I've seen him make better, but
yeah, but I mean, I just but the importance of it too. Like,
sure,
Rick Porcello is kind of on the ropes there, and if he serves up a two, like the difference of a two-run homer or two outs guy on first. I mean, what a significant difference. So that is a shame. Like, we don't have what could have been a great highlight, and then there's no debate.
I kind of like the highlight we got though.
It's not.
So much fun.
Yeah, I mean, I guess
all the memes and gifs.
That
and,
is true. The still shot with all the guys' faces, and they all look for each and every one of them looks more ridiculous than the next. That is pretty good.
Eric's in New Hampshire. Hey, Eric.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
So I was sitting there watching the game last night, enjoying the heart attack that everybody else was enjoying.
Yes.
And definitely thoroughly enjoying Mr. Keefe's tweets as the lead changes unfolded. But, you know, after the game, I was sitting there left with this thought. Like, I looked at my wife and I said, you know, the way the Yankee series ended and the way we all seemed to recover from that and going over it all, and then moving on to this series and the way that it looked like it was going to shape up and it was going to play out, it's been an interesting dynamic in terms of how that's kind of flip-flopped, you know, especially when it comes to the pitching. And so I just kind of wanted to get your guys' take on, you know, how you guys.
Yeah, no, it's played out completely different. First of all, I thought the Astros were going to win the series. Dale picked the Red Sox, but nobody would have predicted Sale and Price look as bad as they do.
When I picked the Red Sox, I was counting on Chris Sale being Chris Sale.
That was their only chance. That's why I thought they certainly had a chance to win the series, because Sale, not like he was a dominant force, but he looked pretty good against the Yankees. So he said, all right, you have that as a weapon. You don't at all, and you lose game one. And then to see them have Nathan Eovaldi and all the RBI that Jackie Bradley has, I mean, some of the clutch performers are not guys that you would predict. And now here they are up 3-1 with a chance to go to the World Series tonight.
Mike's in North Providence. Hey, Mike.
Hi, guys. Yeah, you know, I wasn't expecting Jackie to find his inner David Ortiz either, but he did. So it's like, yeah, with regards to my point here, I think that, you know, people kind of confuse negative plays with positive plays on defense. Like Devers, yeah, he made an error. But and he will make errors, but at the same time, he also kind of like makes other plays as well. And they focus on the negative, whereas positive plays are what we saw last night. Guys making plays that aren't normally made to begin with, in case of Mookie and with Benny. And that's what War is trying to figure out. War is trying to show the complete player. They're trying to show the guy at the, you know, at the plate, but also on the base paths and in the field, and the difference between the guy say had the same number of errors, but one guy's making the spectacular plays and the other guy just that he doesn't have that in him. We had three players in the outfield, all who can throw the leather around. And this is one of those games that it really showed. So
I will say, and I've loved this outfield all season long. I think defensively, Andrew Benintendi, ironically, is the weakest of the three.
He is.
And he made the biggest play.
He is definitely the weakest of the three, but that's not even that much of an insult.
No. You know, when Jackie Bradley Jr. Yeah. is as good a defensive center fielder
and
as there is.
The best overall,
Mookie is incredible. Benintendi's good.
Right.
I don't think he's great defensively. He was great on that last play.
No, and you know, the three of them in the outfield is as good of a complete defensive outfield as maybe you'll ever see. And then that's why it's interesting when you take that group and they're taking hits away, they're taking home runs away, they're taking game-winning hits away, and then you have third base, and you're like, you're just trying to get through. And every time the ball is hitting out of the left side, whether it's Nunez or Devers, aren't you kind of holding your breath? Even a routine play, you're like, make it over there, make it over there. And then you get Steve Pierce having to do the splits and lay across the ground to get the three-hopper.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keith and you, Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.